Good morning, my young friends, and some older friends too. I'll introduce myself. I'm Paul Reinhard Koch, who taught many of your grandparents, some of your parents, uncles and aunts, during the last 36 years that I was a teacher here at Emmanuel Lutheran College. The Lord allowed me to serve here for 36 years. I guess I said that already. Now, this is the first time in 28 years that I'm back here behind the lectern. And that's all about me, of course. That's my introduction. During this Advent season, I've been watching other chapel speakers. And if I were here with you every morning, as you are, I would be thanking every speaker, one and all, because these have been wonderful Advent services in preparation for the arrival of Jesus our Savior at Christmas. But besides the first Christmas, we're looking forward also to the second Advent, to his return, his second round trip to this cold planet. The word of God that I would lay upon your hearts this morning is recorded in the second epistle of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, a young pastor. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, reading as follows. But know this, that is, pay attention, absorb it, accumulate it, pay attention to it. But know this, in the last days, there will be terrible times. For people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, blasphemous, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, not able to reconcile with others, slanderous, without self-control, savage, haters of what is good, treacherous, reckless, puffed up with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, I would expect you to pay attention to such an awesome word of God during this festive season. Consider it to be counterpoint to the regular Advent seasons, because we are just as interested in the second time around when Jesus comes for the second Advent, the final one, Judgment Day. Now, this word of God was spoken to young Pastor Timothy about 2,000 years ago, but God seems to be including us in this same message in our world today. You and I may well be living in these last terrible days of planet Earth, for the signs of the times are all around, prevalent, when people will be lovers of themselves, without self-control, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, that verse 4 bears repeating. People will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. Now, probably you notice that God is pointing his finger not at the devil, not at corrupt society, not as dysfunctional and perverse politics, but to people. People who indulge themselves in the love of sinning, who love themselves rather than their neighbor, and in such self-serving love are dismissing God from their lives. Now, if God had not rescued us and salvaged us, you and I would be among them among those people, because loving, it's loving oneself rather than loving God, is the human genetic birth defect. And it is fatal unless God rearranges your molecules in the birth that we call conversion. Now, Father God and Savior Jesus can accomplish that miracle with the Holy Spirit of conversion, as you well know. However, left uncured, that genetic birth defect is fatal unless it is rearranged by the Savior himself. Left uncured, that becomes a black hole that sucks everything else down. How bad can such dedication to sinful selfishness get? Well, listen up. It produces terrible times in the last days. For being selfish hatches all kinds of self-serving idolatry, such as greed for money, I'm quoting, pride, boasting, arrogant behavior, disobedience to parents, ungratefulness, loving none but self without self-control, haters of what is good, puffed up with conceit, loving what pleasures self rather than loving God. So, here we have one of God's warnings. Stand on guard over yourself, so that when when you yourself arrive at the judgment seat, you yourself will get reunited with the body you've left behind. It'll now be a glorified body, and you can join the assembly of the saints at Jesus' feet. That's a full-time assignment. There will be tests and a final along the way. I'm going to spend a little moment on the word self. That's very interesting in and of itself. And you needn't be a linguist to savor its range. Being self-conscious is okay. Being self-important is getting suspicious. Being self-service begins to stink. And being self-righteous is downright rotten. But God has given a self to everyone since Adam, who became a living self when God breathed the breath of life into Adam's lungs. There are other words in Scripture for self. Self is shorthand for human nature. It's the human nature, otherwise called old man, sometimes called flesh. And it's amazing that Jesus assumed human nature minus its sinful predispositions. And as genuine human, Jesus became our substitute and handed the victory to you and me, ourselves. From that victory of Jesus, we are granted the highest honor of being adopted into God's own family and God's new persons, regenerated selves. I have one more question. By what method can you and I take good care of ourselves from here to eternity? Answer, just what we're doing here. We are reviewing the scriptures that tell us again of God's Christmas generous gift to humanity in his amazing grace. I'm going to turn the page now to more pedestrian matters. I hear that you'll soon be leaving campus to travel home to celebrate Christmas with your family and in your home congregation. Now, for what good reason are you going to pack up your suitcase or backpack and head homeward many miles away? Perhaps at home, you can indulge yourself in mom's cooking, in the sweet treats, and join your own voice in public praise to our Savior in appreciation of his great Christmas gift to people on this cold and wandering planet. Christmas is wonderful because it proves that God has loved us more than we love ourselves. And that's saying a lot. We didn't deserve it or earn it, and that's what makes Christmas a genuine gift of love. I searched for a while in the hymnal, the old red hymnal which you have, which echoes what God has been telling us about ourselves. It's hymn number 446. Take a moment now to locate it. 446. We're going to sing stanzas of 3, 4, and 5. And before the organist begins, I want you to note a few things. There's a warning in stanza 3. About faithless friends. Do you see that? Watch and be, lest there be faithless friends to charm thee. I think that's peer pressure. Maybe bullying. Peer pressure. I hear that's a problem here at ILC. Also, maybe in the dormitories. Maybe elsewhere on campus. In the dining hall and at leisure. Then stanza 4 hits the nail on the head. Watch against thyself, my soul. Let watch against thyself. Let not self thy thoughts control. And stanza 5 brings us back to our Savior and his self-sacrificing love for you and yourself. Announcement will follow. Stanzas 3, 4, and 5 of hymn 446.